Hello, everyone. I'm Becca, dietitian by trade, mom 24/7, wife from the start, and when there's a few extra hours in the day, you might find me hitting the trails or on horseback.
And I'm Kara, a therapist to women, a mom to a boy, an entrepreneur, mountain junkie, and a postpartum runner.
And this is Fit for a Queen, a podcast that's devoted to the female athlete wanting to balance the teeter-totter of all the things we desire out of life as women. Performance, health, intellect, and taking time for self, even if we only get 1 minute out of the day.
We're so excited to be bringing you the queens in the athletic world who have done just that. Okay, ladies, take a seat at your thrones, grab your crowns, and welcome to Fit for a Queen.
All right. Good morning, queens. Today we have Nancy Clark, who probably was one of the only dietitians and still is to be on a Wheaties box. So we're really excited to have her here today. She's a registered dietitian and board certified specialist in sports dietetics. She's a private practice located in the Boston area, and there she counsels both competitive athletes and casual exercisers, helping them win with good nutrition. Nancy specializes in nutrition for exercise, performance, and weight management. Her nutrition advice and photos have been on the back of the Wheaties box. Her clients have included the spectrum from student athletes to Olympians and members of the Bruins and Celtics. She's been the team nutritionist for the Boston Red Sox. Nancy completed her undergrad degree in nutrition from Simmons College in Boston, her dietetic internship at Massachusetts General Hospital, and her graduate degree in nutrition with a focus on exercise physiology from Boston University. She's a fellow of the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics and the American College of Sports Medicine.
Nancy writes a monthly nutrition column called The Athlete's Kitchen, which appears regularly in over 100 sports and health publications and websites. Her best-selling Nancy Clark Sports Nutrition Guidebook, now in its fifth edition, has sold more than 500,000 copies, which was a guidebook that I used as my Bible through high school and college. This popular resource offers both the scientific approach to eating for top performance, as well as the practical how-to approach that includes specific menu ideas and food recommendations. Nancy has also written food guides for new runners, marathoners, cyclists, and soccer players. Health and fitness are personal values for Nancy. She's a regular bicycle commuter and runner. She has completed several marathons, bicycled across America, and hiked in the Himalayas. She lives in the Boston area with her husband and has two grown children. And for more information, please visit nancyclarkrd.com. Thanks for joining us, Nancy.
Well, it's my pleasure. Thanks for inviting me.
Well, Nancy, obviously you're such an inspiration to me because you're one of the first dietitians that really pioneered working with athletes and disordered eating as a dietitian. Can you share with us how you kind of got into that niche?
Well, it just kind of happened. I was giving workshops for coaches as a nutrition educator, and I realized that I needed, more information about how nutrition and exercise connected. So I went to graduate school at Boston University. I was already a registered dietitian, and combined nutrition and exercise, and then started working at a sports medicine clinic. This was a time when running was really big in Boston with Joan Benoit, Bill Rogers, Rick Meyer, and all these great runners. And I started working with some of the runners and sent out a survey to some of the top runners in the country and realized that all these top women runners wanted to lose 5 pounds. Hmm. It's like, they're already the top women runners. Mm-hmm. How much better could they be? So it just sort of started raising a few, maybe very curious about what's really going on here. And this was a time when, back in the 1980s, when women, it was just, Title IX was just new, and women in sports was new, and there wasn't much awareness about women, weight, food, and all the struggles that go on. So it was just how my interest in this area sort of started.
Mm-hmm. And here you are with so many popular books. That is something that we talk about here, this debunking the myth of leanness and performance. So this myth that you must be lighter to be faster or fitter, how do you work with clients to debunk this?
It's a challenge.
Tricky,
it's a
yeah.
challenge. Yeah, because there's a difference between having excess flab that just kind of weighs you down versus having essential, you know, women have essential body fat that is important for them in order to, for their bodies to function normally. And so just trying to encourage women to focus in on performance more than weight. And they just think, oh, if I'm lighter, I'll be better. Well, what's the cost of being lighter? And it's generally poorly fueled muscles. It's under eating during the active parts of their day. It's always thinking about food and food obsessions. It's being cold all the time. And you know, there's a high cost to being lighter than nature wants a woman to be. So really look at the costs, the benefits, look at sustainability. You know, what makes you think that if you were to lose 5 pounds, if you were to struggle to lose 5 pounds, that you would actually be able to keep off that weight?
Mm-hmm.
And just sort of have a conversation and have them be curious. Is like, how much better could I run if I fueled better?
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a shock that so many of my clients, I have a private practice in the Boston area where I see people, you know, one-on-one, and so many of them, you know, they start eating better, and I had one marathoner say, I went for a long run, and I was a minute a mile faster.
Wow.
Like, I have, you know, it's like, I haven't been training differently from last week to this week. You know, could it be my diet? Mm-hmm. And it's like, yeah, it certainly could be. But it's just amazing how many people just think that the only way to perform better is to train harder.
Mm-hmm.
And like, no, most of my clients are already training hard enough.
Right.
And
that's a very good point.
To perform better, they need to, you know, exercise less and eat more.
Mm-hmm.
I've always appreciated how you try to make sure that the clients are looking at their genetic makeup. And I like how you said that. What weight does nature want them to be at? How do you open that conversation and not immediately get the door slammed in your face when you try to talk to them about that?
Well, we look at the dog kingdom. And in the dog kingdom, there are St. Bernards and greyhounds and poodles and Labradors and beagles and chihuahuas. And they're all dogs, but they certainly come in different sizes and shapes. And, you know, the St. Bernard, you know, does the St. Bernard want to be a greyhound? I don't think so. And is a St. Bernard fat? It's like, no, it's a very strong and powerful dog.
Mm-hmm.
And so it, you know, and just sort of have them look at how they look compared to others in their genetic family. And, you know, the apple doesn't fall too far from the tree. So just, you know, sometimes they show me pictures of their families and, you know, how I ask them how they look compared to others in their genetic family. And they, are they leaner than they are or far leaner than they are? And many of them say, oh, I'm leaner than others in my family, or I'm far leaner than others. And, you know, what makes them think that they could be even leaner yet without a high price?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And most people know where a good weight is for their body. You know, they just want to eat. And if you just kind of, you know, eat when you're hungry and stop when you're content, and just come to trust that your body, you know, will achieve an appropriate weight. If you, you know, eat appropriately and exercise appropriately, that your weight will just sort of go to an appropriate weight.
Mm-hmm.
And that you there can be a cost of trying to control all of that.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And, you know, the cost can be amenorrhea, the cost can be stress fractures, the cost can be the end of your running career.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's hard to be an athlete when you're injured.
Right.
And I know of way too many runners that have had way too many, you know, stress fractures and bone injuries that, you know, have just really kind of stopped their careers, that they just never get back to where they used to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All in the name of being thinner. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Speaking at that high cost, you know, that athlete seems to be grasping at straws on anything that can help them perform. And that leads to kind of this belief that they have to have special sport foods or supplements. And I know from day one in your book, you've really talked about how you don't necessarily need that. You can get it from food alone. Do you have any tips or ways that you can make this more convenient for those that do want to try to get it from just food?
Yes. It is important to have people trust food. And, you know, if they want to take a supplement on top of eating well, then that's their choice. But my job is to teach people how to eat well. So I see eating as a timeline. And people get a food bucket at least every 4 hours. So like on my schedule, generally I have breakfast around 7 and lunch at 11. And if you eat lunch at 11, then what do you do the rest of the afternoon until dinner? You have a second lunch at 3. You change that word snack to second lunch.
Mm-hmm.
And then dinner at 6 or 7. And so that you can take a food bucket so that if you train in the morning, you can divide up that bucket into fueling up and refueling. If you train at lunch, then if you have lunch at 11 or part of your lunch at 11, then you got energy to train at noon, and then you can, you know, refuel afterwards. So you're either fueling up or refueling, and, you know, planning out your meals. And in each food bucket, you need some sort of protein to build and repair your muscles. You need some sort of grain to fuel your muscles. You need some sort of fruit or vegetable for vitamins and minerals, and some sort of calcium-rich food or dairy for your bones. And so having people, you know, fill up their food buckets with at least 4 different kinds of foods, then, and look at variety and colors of fruits and vegetables. And again, have people be curious about, oh, how much better do they feel when they eat well? And how much better do they feel when they are eating on a schedule? And, oh, I don't need as much coffee. Or, oh, I don't need as much wine at the end of the day as my reward. Or I don't need that dessert at the end of the day. And it really helps when people kind of experiment with different ways of eating and seeing the benefits. And when there's a benefit, a person will maintain, you know, that new eating style. And so it's just getting people to trust food again, because there's so much negative stuff about food in our conversations these days. But, you know, food works. It does.
I think that's such a good point. And, you know, you guys, you and Becca being dietitians, and it is such a discussion about trusting that body and trusting that appetite and the foods that you're eating. I think probably such a difficult thing sometimes for clients to relearn and find that trust again.
Yeah, and that's where I set things up as an experiment. And what's the worst thing that would happen if you ate a banana before you went on a 10-mile run? It's like not too much. And also spend time focusing on quality of life.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when a person is so restrictive and they don't go out to have pizza with their friends because they've got to go home and work or whatever, I mean, that's not quality of life. So that's what it's really all about. It's about health. It's about quality of life. It's about happiness. And you know, there's some pretty, you know, high-level runners that are coming out these days talking about how unhappy they were when they were forcing themselves into a body that wasn't genetically in keeping with who they were. And when you, you know, read their stories and how much happier they are when they aren't food obsessed all the time and hungry all the time, you know, it really gives you pause to think. And they can still be excellent runners. Mm-hmm. Like I say, it's not as though they're ending their running career, but rather they can, you know, go on to set PRs and just have a happier lifestyle.
Yeah, I'm so glad that's starting to be, there's a voice out there that's talking about that.
Yes, yes, yes. Because there's a lot of unhappiness, I think, in many runners' closets.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Wow.
That's a great statement.
Mm-hmm. Nancy, that was such great, helpful information. And we end every podcast with the question of how you yourself practice this fit philosophy of performance, health, intellect, and taking time for self. So how do you live the fit philosophy, Nancy?
Well, I ride my bike to work, so I build that in. I have a dog that forever needs to be run or walked and gets me into the woods and or along the beaches. And so that's a very convenient nudge to get outside at times when I might say, oh, I'm not going to go out for a walk. And I just enjoy working in my garden. I like being outside. And so I try to do that as much as I can, you know, all seasons of the year. And I once heard went to a talk on time management. And the person said, the average person wastes 2 hours a day. And I sort of thought to myself, well, I'm too busy to waste 2 hours a day. And then I started looking at, you know, how I wasted time without even realizing it and started giving myself permission just to have 2 hours a day for my time to do what I want to do. Mm-hmm. And some of that is walking the dog and riding my bike to work and, you know, going for walks at lunchtime. Or it could be just reading the newspaper So just trying to find a balance there, knowing that you can't be productive from the time you get up till the time you go to bed, even though I think too many of us try to do that, like mm-hmm. day after day.
Definitely that pressure is there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's never ending these days, particularly with emails. You can just spend all day, you know, emails, blogs, tweeting. It just never ends. Mm-hmm. And so it's gets harder and harder to find that time.
Yeah. Well, Nancy, thanks so much for coming on. We'll be sure to include your handbook and your website and your Athlete's Kitchen column in our show notes. And thanks again for coming on.
Well, thanks for the good work that you're doing to bring nutrition to athletes and helping women create a better relationship with food, because it certainly can make a really big difference in many people's lives. And I think that's the reward that, you know, we both get from helping people, you know, find peace with food and peace with their bodies.
Right. Well, you blaze the trail. We're just following you. All right. Well, have a great rest of your day, Nancy.
Okay. Good luck. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Bye.
Bye, Queens.
Thank you to our sponsor today, Sentimano Counseling. Sentimano Counseling is the premier perinatal mental health practice in Kansas City, treating mood disorders during pregnancy and postpartum, perinatal loss, infertility, eating, and exercise disorders. Go to sentimano.com for further information about the practice and services. For additional information on today's topic and guests, follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at FitForAQueen. And
hashtag fit for a queen.
And don't forget to rate us on iTunes. We can't wait for you to join us next time on Fit for a Queen.
Bye, queens.